in a greedy little world that teaches every little boy and girl to earn as much as they can possibly, then turn around and spend it foolishly. We created us a credit card mess. We spend the money that we don't possess. Our religion is to go and blow it all. So it's shopping every Sunday at the mall.
And a very good morning, listeners. Good morning and good morning indeed. Welcome to the Thursday, December the 4th, 2008 broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're on the web at republicbroadcasting.org, and you can visit my little website, vocallocal.org. My name is William Robertson. I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today in the form of more history lessons, of course. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're in the right place at the right time to become vocal local, and I'm struggling to come back up out of the 18th century and come into the 21st century and talk with you today. I've been absolutely immersed in antiquity, and I'm loving it. I just thrive on these old books. Nevertheless, we're going to go back in and look at the concept of election. We're going to close it out today, even if I have to just draw it to a close. But we've been looking at it, one of the most important, I think, pillars, to grab a phrase from Francois Guizot, of our system of representative government. And as we come to understand the system that we were given, if you will, inherited, the birthright, our system of government based upon a sense of freedom and liberty and that old pursuit of happiness, if we can understand that better, then perhaps we will be in a better position to do battle one-on-one when we come up against the globalists right where we are, in our towns and in our cities and in our counties and our states. They seem to have completely turned their back on all of the founding documents and all of the processes that were used to create this country. It's treason, just to use a term. And they have a greater idea, this illumined concept of internationalism, of globalism. But unfortunately, there's a great number of people on the planet who don't share their point of view and point of reference. But nevertheless, they have the power to so alter our existence, even in the United States of America, that we're going to need to know, burn into our minds, in our hearts, in every fiber of our beings, just what it is that it is, or as the French say, qu'est-ce que c'est, what is it that it is to be an American? We may have to carry this knowledge in our minds for a period of years, maybe even decades, before we'll be able to restore the system of government. But as more and more research comes out on a daily basis and we begin to see the machinations that have been used in the last certainly 100 years to destroy this system, then perhaps we will be more dedicated in our conviction to restore this system. We're going to need to do some serious repairs. Our house has been damaged. Our vessel is leaking, and it's leaking and listing badly. So anyway, we'll go into this concept of election again, closing it out for the time being, for the nonce. There's other things that I'd like to bring up. I want to start with that tomorrow and next week. There are other parts of this puzzle, some more modern research, some of the older research, bringing in some of the United Nations things, etc. So stay with us. We'll get it started right after this short break. This is Become Vocal Local.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees, and I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johnglia.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johnglia.com.
Flu and cold season are almost here. I watch as many rush to inject themselves with a magic potion of drugs to prevent sickness, never knowing what's in the needle. Now that's a form of trust I don't have. What's my choice? Life Change Tea. Life Change Tea cleanses the body from chemicals, toxins, parasites, and more. And the ingredients are written on the package. It's all natural, it's safe, and of course, it works. My name is Ronnie McMullen, host of the national talk show program, The Prophetic Watch. I wouldn't put my name and approval on this product if it didn't work. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Operators are waiting. Take charge of your life. GetTheTea.com.
Howdy, gardeners. This is Mike from Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. We carry America's largest selection of heirloom seed, all non-hybrid, non-GMO, and non-Monsanto. We offer 1,200 varieties that our grandparents grew, vegetables that helped us survive the Great Depression, varieties that our founding fathers grew, and varieties that not only survive but thrive in today's gardens. All our vegetable seed is open-pollinated, which means you can save your own seed from generation to generation. Want to learn more about heirloom seeds and what the government is doing to control our food supply? If so, request our free 124-page seed catalog. And today, we offer you our Homestead Collection, 60 full-size packs of pure heirloom seed for $83 postpaid. That's 60 fresh packets of seed for just $83. Call us today to order your free catalog or our seed collection at 866-OLD-SEED. That's 866-OLD-SEED or go online to oldseed.com. That's oldseed.com.
And we have returned. Now we'll finish out. I'm going to go back to this Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences. You know, one of the reasons why I really like to work out of an encyclopedia opened on the table when we have an article on the topic of discussion is because it helps me to use their framework and then fill in things around the framework that they've presented, and especially in this particular set of encyclopedias, because it is so well written and very well researched and very well documented. It has lots of material for bibliography and considerable amount of cross-references. And also, this particular set of encyclopedias is not necessarily impossible to find, but it's not likely that you're going to be able to walk out to a public library someplace and pick it up and read it for yourself. So it's kind of like a little treasure, and I'm just sharing it with you. I'll go right into the article here. We're deep into this article and very nearly at the end of it. But it says, between 1860 and 1890, practically all of the states adopted some form of registration of voters, which we spoke of yesterday or the day before. And although in a number of states, the requirement was and still is limited to the cities, so we have this idea of voter registration. And you know, it's kind of like an adjunct. There are many parts and pieces of this puzzle to understand and why all of these things are working together, and some of them today are working against us. But we have this idea of a decennial census where once every 10 years we are supposed to be counted, numbered, you know, like so many cattle. We'll have our little RFID tags updated or read in the scanner. And that way we can apportion properly the number of representatives within our constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government. And so this concept of registering the voters is, you know, it's like, was it Mary and Joseph on their way for the registration and the taxation, the census, if you will. And so we register ourselves as voters. And there's many other things that are involved in here. You know, the United States Post Office is in bed with this thing. And I don't know whether the United States Post Office is any more United States than the Federal Reserve is federal, but nevertheless, they're involved in this as well. So it's a process of keeping track, if you will, numbering the constituents, numbering the people. And there's taxes and tax benefits that flow along this line as well. So there's a lot of government involved in your voter registration card. It goes much beyond just the simple practice of voting. Continuing, it says, the early weak registration laws were easily circumvented, and repeating and colonization became quite common in the large cities. This idea of repeated votes or colonization of votes, like the ghettos, so to speak, it was frequent and common in the large cities. Stronger registration laws and the creation of special election and registration commissions for the large cities usually tended to clean up the elections for a few years. Note this now, though. But eventually, these offices fell into the hand of the party organizations, and election frauds were again committed with impunity. Which, again, we go back to this concept of this established two-party political system. And as we read through this today, you're going to see the increasing role that parties play in the process of election, taking over almost a governmental function, even though they are not government. They're standing committees. They're separated away from government. They're governed by the government, but yet they're performing governmental roles almost in this process. So as late as the 1900s, it was estimated by well-informed observers that as many as 60,000 fraudulent votes were cast in hotly contested elections in Philadelphia alone. 60,000 fraudulent votes. That's a gob and a bunch, folks. Since 1900, the tone of elections in the United States has very definitely improved. This has been brought about by stricter registration laws, more detailed regulations of the conduct of elections, the requirement of the signature at the polls in many states, and in recent years by the enfranchisement of women and the passing of the open saloon, both of which have tended to prevent violence, drunkenness, and corruption at the polls. So just go back in your mind and think about the early 1900s, where they would shut down the saloons and the women had no vote. And then the candidates in the cities, the party boss, you know, Tammany Hall and all of that rot, they would then try and entice the voters by offering free drinks and, dance hall girls, beats me. I don't know how the enfranchisement of women helped out in this particular instance, but nevertheless, a lot was going on there. A lot of graft, a lot of corruption, a lot of buying of votes. Remember, we talked about ballots of different colors so that you could see the person that's coming in that's got the pink ballot, and you rush up and impress upon them why they need to vote for the blue ballot, etc. Continuing, he says, while elections in the United States are for the most part honest, again, this was written back in the 1930s, you know, Tommy guns standing on the side on the running boards of your chivy with a Tommy gun in hand coming into town, whooping. Why? Very interesting. I'm getting really great mental thoughts there. Anyway, while elections in the United States are for the most part honest, they are not capably handled. Isn't that always the cry, the hue that we hear from government? You know, there's just not enough people. They're overworked, they're understaffed, or they're underpaid. Every election contest brings to light gross inaccuracies, irregularities, and slipshod practices. This is not just black box voting, isn't something that just came along last week. We've had this problem with this voting process for some time. Cumbersome and antiquated administration makes the cost of elections in many cities exorbitant. Again, cumbersome and antiquated administration makes the cost of elections in many American cities exorbitant. Listen to these costs. The election costs in 1929 in New York City, for example, were $2,187,925.18. It seems to me at the time that the statistic was being kept here, someone was still accounting and being accountable right down to the penny, a ledger sheet to the 18 cents. But look at the size of the money involved in here, the dollar amount. Of course, this was actual money. $2,187,925.18, or an average cost of $1.26 per vote cast. 1.25 ounces of silver for every vote cast. While this cost is high, it is not as great per vote cast as it is in some other cities. That these costs are excessive is shown by the very low cost in certain smaller cities. Salt Lake City recently conducted a city primary, and again, this is in the 1930s, and election with a total vote of 52,137 voters at a cost of $5,270.49, or 10 cents per vote. So Salt Lake City was getting the job done for about a dime, while in New York City it was costing about $1.26. Costs can be reduced again, and the handling of elections improved by eliminating spoils politics. Spoils politics, which we're going to find about right now. Increasing the size of voting precincts, reducing the number of precinct election officers, and simplifying the procedures at the polls. So again, we're right back into our concept of the local voting precinct. By custom, and in many states, by law, the conduct of elections is turned over to the two-party organizations, which name all the election officers. You got that? By custom, and in many states by law in the 1930s, the conduct of the elections is turned over to the two-party organizations, which name all of the election officers. And this continues today. So we have these two established political parties that are running the show. This is a real problem. This is like asking the crook to be accountable for his own crooked actions. It's a real problem. It needs to stop. This practice has grown up because of the bipartisan tradition. See, we have a bipartisan tradition. Why? It's simply a tradition. It's a convention. It was an instrument. Then it became an institution. And as we know, institutions, as soon as they have been formed, begin to crumble and decay and rot. And this rotten, cankerous, cancerous, established two-party political system has so fallen into disarray that it's time to disband it and cease it. It's a charade, but we're the ones that are being, we're the dupes in this game. It says this practice has grown up because of the bipartisan tradition and because of the belief that the most effective way to secure honest elections is to provide for official representation of both political parties in the conduct of elections. See, this is a belief without evidence perhaps, but it's a belief nevertheless in this bipartisan tradition. What is your political faith? Do you believe in the efficacy of this two-party system? Has it gone so far astray that the little lamb can't be found again? I think it has. The practice has proved ineffective, our author writes. In many large cities, the theory... Hey, we'll pick that theory up right on the other side. Stay with us for more theories.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Huh. For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Are clear.
The worldwide economic collapse is here.
The military is being positioned for martial law.
The mark of the beast is at hand.
Governments are calling for a new world cashless economic system.
Having a long-term food solution is your only hope.
To stay free.
Now, Survivalist Seeds introduces their Escape the Beast Kit. 24 varieties of all-natural, non-genetically modified heirloom seeds.
For true patriots and homesteaders wanting food insurance.
That's over 5 pounds of rare historic seeds.
For a penny per seed.
15,000 seeds that will feed a family healthy food for 7 years. Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me, is including an instructional DVD that will teach you how to earn big money selling the produce from his incredible heirloom seeds back to him, restaurants, and small delis.
Don't buy from copycats. Their fancy packaging is not free.
Order today before it's too late. SurvivalistSeeds.com.
That's SurvivalistSeeds.com.
A long-term food solution.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johngalea.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johngalia.com.
And we're back once again, going into this theory a little bit deeper here. It says, in many large cities, the theory that the two parties are opposed to each other is largely a fiction. You know, wouldn't it be refreshing to, you know, to be able to go into a school library these days and get this kind of information right off the shelves, the bookshelves? The theory that the two parties are opposed to each other is largely a fiction. Common knowledge on the streets in the 1930s, and here 70, almost 80 years later, we're still yoked up with this two-party system. Appointments are made not for ability or integrity, but on the basis of party service. I know this is common knowledge to some of you, many of the listeners, especially those of you who have been listening these past few months on Become Vocal Local. We understand this. We're getting it, you know, I'm trying to, like I say, driving it home with 16 penny nails, bridge spikes. But there's a real problem inside of this system. And it's this system, you know, tomorrow morning, Friday morning at 10 o'clock, the Federal Reserve System could be ended, brought to an immediate end by a Congress assembled, ratified in Senate, signed by 5 o'clock tomorrow night by Bush. But as long as we continue to allow this system to, like I say, you know, have us by a chokehold, a stranglehold, a jackboot on our throats, we're just going to be reacting to the various things that come down the pike. And boy, are there a lot of things in the pipeline right now. waiting to pour out upon us. Again, appointments are made not for ability or integrity. God forbid we should have anybody who have ability or integrity operating in government as public servants with all of the pensions and the health care and all of that, you know, automobiles, unlimited gas cards, blah, 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 housing allotments, travel, conventions, conferences, hotels, rubber chicken, the whole nine yards. God forbid we should have anybody of ability or integrity in government, but they're not chosen for those qualities. Today it's all multidisciplinary and multi-jurisdictional, administrative law, if you will. The patronage of these positions, there's that key phrase again, patronage of these positions is very great because of the large number of persons required and is used by this part by the party organizations to build up their strength. And if you listen to the discussion by Ralph Winterode on the National Intel Report the other day when he was filling in for John, he laid it out pretty carefully. If you go up on your Secretary of State's website and look at all of the various commissions that have been formed under the state government, completely extra-constitutional, outside of the bound of Constitution, all of these various commissions and boards that are peopled by God only knows whom, who can count them, who can keep track of them, many of the boards are just like, it's a circle of influence, I'll put it that way, centers of influence that invite people to come and sit on these various boards and commissions, and then they sit around and they think up all of this incredible stuff that then finds its way down to the streets, whether we're dealing with schools, roads, infrastructure of various kinds, library commissions, all of that, communications, all of that, outside of the bounds of a constitutional system. And these are things that we can have an impact on right where we are because many times these commissions and these boards are short members. And you might be able to get a seat on one of those boards if you inquired. The patronage of these positions, again, is very great because of the large number of persons required and is used by the party organization to build up their strength. It's perks. It's payback time for those loyal county committee men and county committee women who work diligently once every 4 years to help get the wooden dummy elected. Election positions are frequently awarded to the bitterest partisans who are personally interested in the outcome. Personally interested. They're not coming in, leaving their baggage behind. They're bringing in their bitter interests, their personal interests into the system. They're very interested in the outcomes of these elections. And the vast majority of election frauds are committed by the election officers themselves. There's no reason to have electronic voting systems to keep those pesky illegals out. Most of the fraud is being committed by the election system itself, the election officers themselves. In the sections of the country where elections are best conducted, the officials are appointed without regard to the recommendation of the party machines, and in a few states without regard to any party affiliation. You see? So it says, in the sections of the country where elections are best conducted. So if we have to sidestep the party system in order to get an honest election, then we have to ask ourselves once again, why parties? For polling purposes, the constituencies and governmental units are, in practically all countries, divided into election districts. Now we're starting to widen the scope of our inquiry and look at the entire globe. It's a systemic problem. We'll be back right after this break. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Howdy, gardeners. This is Mike from Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. We carry America's largest selection of heirloom seed, all non-hybrid, non-GMO, and non-Monsanto. We offer 1,200 varieties that our grandparents grew, vegetables that helped us survive the Great Depression, varieties that our founding fathers grew, and varieties that not only survive but thrive in today's gardens. All our vegetable seed is open-pollinated, which means you can save your own seed from generation to generation. Want to learn more about heirloom seeds and what the government is doing to control our food supply? If so, request our free 124-page seed catalog. And today, we offer you our Homestead Collection, 60 full-size packs of pure heirloom seed for $83 post-paid. That's 60 fresh packets of seed for just $83. Call us today to order your free catalog or our seed collection at 866-OLD-SEED. That's 866-OLD-SEED, or go online to oldseed.com. That's oldseed.com.
Deep in the Brazilian rainforest of the Amazon grows the acai berry. Considered to be one of nature's most complete and healthy foods, the acai berry is loaded with antioxidants, amino acids, essential omegas, fibers, phytonutrients, and protein. A superfood? Yes. YourLivingFruit.com now brings the acai product, the timing, the company, the opportunity, and the cause to you. Some of the health benefits associated with the acai berry are increase in sustained energy, help with cholesterol management, improvement of digestive system, strengthening immune system, and more. Acai berry boasts 10 times the antioxidant benefits of grapes and twice that of blueberries. Are acai berry health benefits right for you? Is the opportunity right for you? Find out at YourLivingFruit.com. YourLivingFruit.com will show you the remarkable and continually documented health benefits of the acai berry. Visit YourLivingFruit.com. That's YourLivingFruit.com.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
And we have returned once again. Listeners, the call-in line is 1-800-313-9443. If you have a comment or question in regards to election today, your calls are welcome. For polling purposes, the constituencies and governmental units, again, are in practically all countries divided into election districts, each with a separate set of election officers. So now we're zeroing back in on this concept of the local voting precinct groups again. And we can, you know, judge these concepts that I've been discussing these past months using the five inductive criteria of logic set up by Aristotle. Number one, is it relevant? Absolutely, it's relevant. If we can't grab hold of the reins of power through this electoral system, anything short of bullets is not going to function. It's not going to work. Is what I'm suggesting testable? Absolutely, it's testable. We've been doing this for a long time. You can gain any amount of research going up on Google and WebFerret and Struggle and Dogpile and Mozilla and all the other browsers that are out there and just fill up reams, fill up note files, you know, files on this material, on the idea of the importance of the local voting precinct as being the fundamental building block upon which this system of government rises. Is it testable? Absolutely. Is it compatible with previously well-established hypotheses? I'm telling you right here, reading from 1930s encyclopedia, that this problem is systemic. It's been with us since this system was established. Is there any predictive or explanatory power in the things that we're talking about? Absolutely. I'm predicting and I'm explaining to you that there's not going to be a dime's worth of difference in the future elections if we don't get energized within this system and start turning it around, and we must do it quickly. And the fifth criteria is it's simple. It's absolutely simple. We don't have to build any new institutions. The entire system is already in place. We just need to energize within it. So this is a logically sound argument I'm advancing. Occasionally, as in Lithuania, the districts are determined by a maximum distance from the voters' homes. Now, we can go right back to Blackstone's commentaries, which I'm now almost completed the first volume out of the four-volume set that I recently acquired, but it's the same kind of a drill. It was like either how far you could walk in a day or how far you could ride a horse in a day that would establish these election districts. And with the advent of the automobile, of course, the districts could be larger. Populations make the districts smaller because it's apportioned by people. But going back here, in Lithuania, the districts are determined by a maximum distance from the voters' homes. Usually, however, division is on the basis of the number of voters in the district. And that's the way it is in this country. In some cities in the United States, the average number of voters to the election district or the precinct is as low as 200. In others, as high as 1,000, and today much more than that. The number of precincts in the largest cities runs into the thousands. With improved transportation facilities and the widespread use of the automobile, such precincts are no longer necessary in the United States. But they are retained largely for political purposes. The polling place is generally located in or near the election district and is usually in a public building, such as a school building or a fire station. In some communities in the United States, private shops, particularly tailoring and cleaning establishments. Why would they be particularly tailoring or cleaning establishments? Isn't that where the mafia used to hang out? Quite frequently, you'd be taken to the cleaners. That was a place you didn't want to go. They're generally private shops rented for the occasion. Occasionally, churches or private residences are employed. And quite frequently here in Southwest Missouri, either a fire department or a local church will have a community room of some sort, and the polling will be there. Rent for polling places was formerly a source of considerable spoils for the political machine. Now we understand why they went to the tailor shops and the cleaning establishments, because they were insiders and they charged exorbitant rent to close their business down and run a poll for the day. But the failure of the rental paid for polling places to rise with rents in general has made this a less profitable source of spoils. Again, it's just greasing everybody's palms, digging largesse, you know, out of the community chest, if you will. A few cities, particularly Rochester, Cleveland, and New York City, use portable houses, which are set up prior to the election upon vacant lots or in the streets. Public buildings, especially school buildings, are the most satisfactory polling places. The cost is nominal. The polling place is always located in the same place and the same space. The light, the ventilation, and the general surroundings are better than in rented shops. And certainly more public scrutiny could be had in a school building than in the back of somebody's, I won't even use a name, don't need to go there, in somebody's cleaner, dry cleaning shop. Where the state law does not require that the polling place be within the boundaries of the precinct, many cities locate a number of polling places within a single building. In some European and Canadian cities, the voting for an entire city takes place at one polling place, a large hall with a number of polling divisions. This makes possible a more careful supervision of the conduct of elections. So we can see there's been a variety of different attempts to make this concept of election and polling and casting one's vote more credible and more reliable. And going back to Francois Guizot, election is absolutely critical inside a system of representative government. It's one of the three main pillars that support it. If you can't have an honest election, you cannot have representative government. It's axiomatic. Elections are advertised by notices published in the newspapers and posted in the election districts before the elections. Now, I think you can probably agree with me and say that you haven't seen an election notice posted in your district for some time. Generally, you're lucky if it appears in the newspaper. If you get a sample ballot in the newspaper these days, count your blessings. In a few states in the United States, this notice takes the form of a reproduction of the ballot. In Lithuania and in the canton of Zurich, Switzerland, every elector receives 5 days before the election the different party lists, one of which he deposits in the ballot box on election day. So here in Lithuania and in this particular canton of Zurich, Switzerland, the parties send out their lists, their ballots, right to the voter so that they can just deposit their slip of paper in the ballot box on election day. And generally, he receives the official ballots only in the polling place. So sometimes to get the official ballot, they went to the polling place, and that's what happens today here in our area too. Elections usually last only one day. Again, they go back to Lithuania. Lithuania and Egypt are exceptions to this rule. By custom, Tuesday has come to be used generally in the United States. Sunday is the most common day on the continent. That would be Europe. In many American states, Election Day is a legal holiday on which banks and public offices are closed. That's no longer the case. In some states and countries, the laws provide that all employers shall permit their employees time off during the day in order to vote, and that we carry on today. The hours of election are fixed by statute, usually from 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning until 5 or to 8 o'clock in the afternoon. Late closing gives the workers a chance to vote and obviates the necessity for costly holiday or time off provisions. You see, they put the cost of voting on the back of the employer. It's a mini holiday where workers are granted time off and they get time off with pay to go vote. That goes back on the employer. It's another one of the hidden taxes, the costs of doing business, underwriting and supporting the election system. At the close of the election, the ballots are counted in the presence of authorized watchers of the political parties or the candidates, and a tabulation of the vote along with the ballots and other supplies is returned to the officer in charge. Who is the officer in charge in your area? Is there a count being done in your voting precincts anymore, or is that just being done now electronically? Are there two or more parties watching your votes in each of the precincts? There are here. In fact, every party that has a candidate on the ballot can have an election watcher, a poll watcher, if you will. Not all of them are formally election judges, but oftentimes that also occurs. You might have a Libertarian judge, a Republican judge, one or more Democratic judges, and so on. And then there's this idea of returning the ballots to the officers in charge. Now, today we know that there's a real problem here. Sometimes those boxes of ballots and those electronic voting devices go on a circuitous route back to the election authority, sometimes switching from one vehicle to another. Who knows what the ballots look like by the time they get there, you know. In the principal elections in the United States, the precinct officials may have to work most of the night to complete the count. Now, you can understand that no longer occurs, except in perhaps some places that I'm not aware of, maybe in New Hampshire or some of the other places, they're still actually counting the ballots. But here's part of the complaint again. It's the inadequate number of election judges. Around here, you have the same four or five dear little old ladies and perhaps a couple of slightly younger folk, usually retirees, and they're there from the first, from before the crack of dawn, all the way up until the end of the day. And they don't have enough people to replace, but when I put my name in the hopper to be considered as an election judge or a poll worker, I got no response whatsoever, you see. So I think they like it that way. They like it that way because if they're understaffed, then they can complain they just didn't have enough people. Whereas if most of you listening today understand how important it is to have our election process working like a, a German watch, if you will, or a Swiss watch or a German train, if we were to have our election systems running and humming along like that, we would be standing in line, volunteering our time on election day to be involved at the polls, to observe and assure that we had an honest election, absolutely essential in our system of government. In the principal elections in the United States, again, the precinct officials may have to work most of the day, most of the night to complete that count. But we know that the influence of the media, the instant gratification America that we've become, not because we're instant gratification type of people, but we've been indoctrinated from our birth to be instant gratification kind of people. We demand that we know who won the election before, you know, before the you put the children in bed on election day. And that's just not right. If it takes 2 days, 3 days, 5 days, or 10 to get it right, then we need to take 2 days, 5 days, 10 days to get it right. Part of the problem that we've got now with this electronic age is that there's so much commercialism tied up in the process, and there's so many sponsors sponsoring these various things, and you've got all of these huge extravaganzas all over the country for acceptance speeches and all of that. You know, the presidents didn't, until Roosevelt, didn't give acceptance speeches. That didn't come in until then. If we would take the party out of it, take the show out of it, and get it back to something along the line of elections, we might be in better shape. I've got a caller here, Richard in North Carolina. Richard, come on up and join us today.
Oh, hi there.
Good morning to you.
And morning to you, sir. I listened to you while I was reading other things on the net, and then I just shut down my net because I wanted to listen to what you had to say.
Well, thank you.
You make a lot of sense. And on that note, and this is a thought, you have so many polling places, then there's a better chance for fraud in elections.
And it works both ways, Richard, because with over 177,000 different local voting precincts and polling places, we can make it such, if we energize within this system, we can make it such that just about no outside entity could effectively influence it other than the two established political parties. But because we do have the two established political parties running the whole show, you're absolutely right. When we have an apathetic people, we can't possibly be there to watch all of those polls.
Exactly. I ran as a Libertarian for a local election here in North Carolina, and I have done it before, and I've been active with the LP for a long time. And I see a town I lived in, believe it or not, was only, 7,000-8,000 people? And yet they had two polling precincts. And the other point I wanted to make was you talked about only certain people working at the polling locations?
Correct.
My daughter applied and said, gee, I'd like to work. And they says, what party are you with? And she said, the Libertarian. They says, you can't work for us.
Yeah.
So, you know, that aggravated the heck out of me. I made an appeal to the State Board of Elections here in North Carolina, and that was 5 years ago, and I'm still waiting for a response to their letter. But anyway,
well, I would make sure you plan other things to do with your day while you're waiting for that letter, because it could
like I said, that was 5 years ago.
By now, you should have the grass worn down between your front door and the mailbox down to the bare ground.
Yeah, that's so true. Lastly, you talked about transportation of ballots. There was an incident a number of years ago, and it was up in New England, where the people did paper ballots, and the ballot boxes were locked, and as soon as the polls closed, the ballot boxes were put in sheriff's cars. And they said, okay, we're going to go over to the main office and sit down, open these up, and count them. Well, a couple of people went to the counting place and said, I'm going to watch the counting. Now, it was, a half-hour drive mostly? Hour and a half to 2 hours later, the sheriff's cars show up. all the ballot boxes did not have locks on them. And people questioned it, and the law enforcement just looked at the people and said, if you don't like it, leave.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen this over the years. Like I said, I've run for local elections, and I've run for state elections. And if they're partisan, I run as a libertarian. And I question what's going on with this electronic voting, just like what happened up in Vermont. 20 people voted for Ron Paul on the primary. Well, it showed up that nobody voted for Ron Paul in that city. And there were questions about it. And, you know, basically it was blown off.
I can tell you we got to go to a break, but my blood is boiling. Stick with us, Richard. We'll pick you up on the other side of this break, folks. Stay right there.
Worldwide economic collapse is here.
The military is being positioned for martial law.
The mark of the beast is at hand.
Governments are calling for a new world cashless economic system.
Having a long-term food solution is your only hope
to stay free.
Now, Survivalist Seeds introduces their Escape the Beast Kit. 24 varieties of all-natural, non-genetically modified heirloom seeds.
For true patriots and homesteaders wanting food insurance.
That's over 5 pounds of rare historic seeds
for a penny per seed.
15,000 seeds that will feed a family healthy food for 7 years.
Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me, is including an instructional DVD that will teach you how to earn big money selling the produce from his incredible heirloom seeds back to him, restaurants, and small delis.
Don't buy from copycats. Their fancy packaging is not free.
Order today before it's too late. SurvivalistSeeds.com.
That's SurvivalistSeeds.com.
A long-term food solution.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johngalea.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264. And johnglia.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
We have to turn our final and shortest segment of the day's broadcast. We have Richard in North Carolina. Richard, when you were being, let's say, a candidate or acting as a candidate for the Libertarian Party, I'm sure you were treated in your area like a redheaded stepchild, just like so many others have been. But I think one of the messages or one of the lessons that we can learn, to use their terminology, from the Dr. Paul campaign was that even though we are tempted to work within the alternate parties, the real place to be is inside of this established two-party political system, working to gain a majority position in our county committees, so that when you put your name on the list to be an election judge, you'll actually be selected, but also so that when we are in the process of nominating slates for electors to the Electoral College, or making decisions as to who the party should support for a state representative or something else. What we found here, and I can think of, I'm thinking of a specific individual in mind, who was elected as a delegate for his congressional district, but when they got to the congressional district meeting, disqualified for previous party affiliation with the Libertarian Party. So we do ourselves damage when we're trying to work within this system after we've set ourselves up as a Libertarian or a Constitution Party or something like that. It makes it difficult to interact inside of these two parties. They're so controlled.
Oh, yeah, that's so true. That's so true. You know, where I live now in the western part of the state, I was treated a lot better here when I ran for office than when I lived in the eastern part of the state. And I'll give at least credit. People would say, you know, oh, the Libertarians are here spoiling the elections again. And I'd always say to them, that's what I'm here for.
I'm an election spoiler. Well, you know, even that stain carried right through with Dr. Paul, even though he has been a Republican congressman for his district for a considerable amount of time, that one side trip into the Libertarian Party there and his strong Libertarian views in general really disqualify him in the electoral process for as a consideration for a candidate for president. I don't believe there was any other candidate more qualified, and I think that a great number of the people out there that followed the races would agree with that. But unfortunately, the parties branded him unelectable because he was a Libertarian, even though he had the R behind his name on all of those ballots. So, you know, we're up against a beast system. It's controlled from the inside to the outside. And if we're going to move forward with any kind of alacrity at all in the 2010 election series, we're going to need to adopt a political realism as our banner rather than political fanaticism, and get serious about taking these two parties over from the inside out.
Yeah, some people have talked about doing that, getting in there and doing it. And I said, you know, like you just said, you know, they'll just associate you with, you know, the Greens, the Constitutionals, or whatever, and they'll say, you know, where is your real loyalty lie?
And well, I think if we look at it from the standpoint that they do, you know, they talk about party faith, your political faith. What is your faith? Certainly, I'm going to have to say goodbye at this time, Richard, and thank you for your call.
Thank you for talking to me. I enjoyed it.
All right.
Keep up the good work and keep the word out there and keep the fires burning.
We certainly will, folks. We're taking it back one precinct, one county, and one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local. My name is William Roberts. Thank you for listening, and until the next time, good day.